A bit loud.
Push you over.
Come on, too. I'm glad to hear a very solemn hush has come over the church. My name's Graham Jones, and it's my duty to welcome you all here tonight. We're very excited as a church in this next chapter of our faith community. And it's wonderful to see so many of you here with us tonight as we celebrate this great occasion of the institution of Craig Cooney as our minister in charge, and also to welcome his wife Becky into our community. We've had a wonderful few months of finding ourselves again as a church, but we very much believe that it's now time to hand the reins over to somebody who is as capable and as humble as Craig. And it's been very remarkable over the last number of weeks just to hear so many great testimonies about him and Becky. And all we can do is just get excited about what the future holds for us as a church. So again, just extend a very warm welcome to you all here this evening. Thank you so much for coming and for being with us tonight. Just a couple of things I'm obliged to tell you about toilets, which are that way, and then also exits, or the way you came in, and also that same way, there's an exit there. So without further ado, I'll hand you over to the guys who are running the service, but again, just extend the welcome and thank you so much for coming.
My soul.
Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, I have great pleasure in welcoming you all this evening to CORE at St. Catherine's Church here in the heart of the city of Dublin. We're delighted to welcome Craig and Becky and also to be surrounded by the support that they bring with them. And we hope and trust that as the days and the weeks go on, you who have come to be with us this evening will continue to pray for us as we will pray for you, and for the witness and the work which happens and takes place here, not only every Sunday, but every day of the week. So once again, if you have come from near or if you have come from far, you are indeed most welcome in the name of the Lord. I would also like to thank a good friend of both Craig and mine, that is Dr. Maurice Elliott, for his willingness to preach this evening at this service. We came to know Maurice in different contexts. I, through work in relation to the Church of Ireland Theological Institute, and I've greatly been enriched by the work and the friendship which Maurice and I have shared. So I'm especially pleased, Maurice, that you're here this evening. And I know in some sense that Craig is a spiritual child of yours. So he may not think of himself as a child in any way, but I think in a real sense through the work and the witness of Shankill in Lurgan in the Diocese of Dromore, there's something very umbilical and something very strong and not long-lasting there. So I'm really delighted that in a sense we're all reunited and we'll have the opportunity to work together in this very special way. I think everything we need is here. The black marks on the white page are in the order of service, and the Almighty is in our midst. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have met to welcome the Reverend Craig Cooney, who has been nominated to serve as minister in charge of Core Church. I commend to the prayers of each one of you and of us all together, Craig, as God has called him to serve him and to lead his people, as he has invited him to come to work here in this place among us and to spread the knowledge of God's kingdom and enable others to embrace the presence of God's Spirit. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father in heaven, we gather here on earth to worship you, to praise you, to serve you, and to receive your grace. Give to your servant Craig the strength of your calling of him and the compassion to respond to all who are his neighbors. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty and everlasting God, by your Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified. Hear the prayers which we offer for all the members of your Church, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and in truth, to the glory of your name, through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. O God, you declare your almighty power most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please be seated for the Old Testament reading.
Ezekiel 34:11. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. This is the word of the Lord.
The everlasting God, you rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord.
The reading is from Acts 20, verses 17 to 32. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task that Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now that I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again, therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." This is the word of the Lord.
Jesus. it's only.
For it's only
Gospel of our Savior Christ according to St. Matthew, chapter 9, beginning at verse 35.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Everlasting God, faithful one, we thank you for your presence in our gathering this evening and pray now from your word and by your spirit that you would speak to each one of us through Christ our Lord. Amen. Archbishop, can I thank you very much indeed for your very kind welcome. Craig, can I thank you also for this opportunity? It genuinely is an honor to have this moment to share in this special occasion with you. I came across a website not so very long ago, and it had to do with funny oxymorons, or to put it differently, contradictions in terms that perhaps might make you smile. For example, an exact estimate, an unbiased opinion, a civil war, a working holiday, this is one for Craig, a 10-kilometer fun run. Somebody obviously fed this in from a church source, a productive committee. And it got me thinking about the nature of our gathering here this evening, because I think in every sense, this is something of a bitter, sweet occasion. If you have come here this evening from this church of Core at St. Catherine, or indeed from the Diocese of Dublin and Glendalough, you've come with a great sense of anticipation and curiosity and even gladness. You're here to welcome Craig and Becky, and you're wondering, what will he be like? Well, now you can judge for yourselves. As you can see, here he is. He's exceedingly well-groomed. He's exceedingly well-toned. If he hasn't joined a gym, I'm sure that'll happen this week. He's exceedingly well-tanned. It's amazing how many ultraviolet rays you can gather on the shores of Loch Ness. But But more important than any of that, I want to affirm with utmost confidence, he is exceedingly well able. I've known, and it's been a privilege to know Craig for many years. We worked together in Lurgan, as the Archbishop mentioned, and I can assure you that the trustees of this church and the Archbishop have chosen well in their appointment. They've appointed someone to the leadership of this church who is genuinely gifted, who is a skilled communicator, an effective bridge builder, a caring pastor and priest, and someone who's passionate to see church which is living and growing and contemporary and relevant. You've a lot to look forward to, believe me. Now, on the other hand, if you're here as a parishioner from Shankill, and it's lovely looking around to see so many familiar faces. I was going to say old faces, but familiar faces. And this is an occasion for you to have to say goodbye and farewell to a man and a couple for whom you've developed great affection and whose input into your lives you've come to genuinely appreciate. Only just earlier today, I was actually in Dunmurry preaching at an ordination service in Connor Diocese, and I can still picture Craig on the occasion of your ordination as a deacon, which happened in Shankill. I can remember sitting with Craig and Laura Kenwell as the idea for a new service in the Jethro Centre was taking shape, and it's just thrilling to see how the Arise service has come on over these last years under Craig. I can remember Craig getting dressed up, as curates sometimes have to do for all-age talks and family services. I'll not go too much into that. I look back with fondness to seeing how he started to cut his teeth in caring for people in real difficult times. And it was a real joy also for Kirsten and I to share with Craig and Becky when they tied the knot. 2009? You had to check. So for many of you on the other side, this is perhaps a sad moment. And wherever we are on this bittersweet barometer, just imagine what it must be like for Craig and Becky themselves. For them, there's a sense of fulfillment, appreciation, excitement, uncertainty, anxiety, not just about the Dublin traffic. And so this kind of occasion, our gathering this evening, it brings to the surface all kinds of emotions. And in the midst of that cocktail, I think maybe what we all need to do is come back to just a few points of stability. Some of the unchanging constants. And what I want to suggest is that we take just a few moments to look at what was our second reading from Acts chapter 20. Paul bids farewell to the elders of the church in Ephesus, a church that he'd spent at least 3 years with. He'd invested himself in them in every way, and as he prepares to leave, he reminds them of certain core priorities for church and for leadership within church. First, that those who lead must learn to demonstrate genuine care. Let me read some verses. You know how I lived with you the whole time. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and tears, although I was severely tested. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. The first task of the leader, shepherd, is to exercise care for the flock. I sometimes don't hear things perfectly well. And I love telling this story of on one occasion in my first parish, which was in Belfast, where there's quite a heavy accent, as you know. And I went down to the parent and toddler group, and this girl came up to me, and we got chatting, and she told me her husband was a pastor. So I was naturally very interested. Oh, really? Tell me, where is he a pastor? What does he pastor of? No, your reverence, he's a plasterer. Craig Craig, your primary calling within CORE is to act as pastor to this congregation, and indeed, beyond the fringes, to the surrounding community. And you don't need me to stand here this evening and to tell you that there's no greater privilege and actually no deeper responsibility. It's a high calling. It involves many things, as Paul says, public ministry, moving from house to house, feeding the flock, where necessary, fighting the wolf. It requires humility, maybe times of hardship, testing and tears. And remember this, as Paul makes his farewell, he's speaking to a group of elders. And so I encourage you to seek everywhere you can to work collaboratively, to develop the team you've already got here, and indeed to work and engage with other diocesan colleagues. Our God exists within himself as Trinity, three persons in relationship. And somebody has said that the mission of the church, the task of the leader, is to extend and expand that loving fellowship of the Godhead, the Trinity, to include others and to develop networks. Craig, if you give yourself to this, you will indeed be effective in your care for this church. Secondly, those who lead must learn to balance their lives appropriately. It's wonderful to see so many other clergy at the front and throughout the congregation, and many, I'm sure, as I was on the occasion of my ordination, was given as a life verse, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. It says this, "Keep watch over yourselves and the whole flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." And I trust the point is an obvious one. In stretching your ministry muscles to pastor the church, do not neglect to take care of yourself. There's a lovely story, isn't there, of how you can tell what is important in different denominations according to what you maybe find in the vestry of the church. So, for example, in Presbyterian church vestry, you might find a copy of the Westminster Confession. In a Methodist church, you might find a picture of John Wesley. In a Roman Catholic church, you might find a picture of the Pope. And in the Church of Ireland, you find a mirror. Now, I could take that as the moment to say that some people, and we did tease a little bit about this, may be apt to dwell a little bit long in front of the mirror, but I do remember the best man at Craig's wedding did a much better job than I would ever do at that. The underlying issue is that you can't afford to ignore your own needs, and indeed the needs of your marriage to Becky and your wider family. And in fact, there's a causal connection, because the intention to care for yourself will make you more effective in the way in which you care for the church. So along with the hard work, make time for prayer and preparation, time for retreat and recreation, time for Becky and building your marriage. And all the more essential that is now that for the first time you're launching out on your own. And those of you who belong here, help Craig and Becky to make sure that that balance is struck. Finally, those who lead, it seems to me from this wonderful passage in Acts, those who lead must never forget the value of the sheep. Paul adopts the language of shepherding and the flock, and we hear it in church in a familiar kind of way, and yet many of us are urbanites, are we not? We're in the center of Dublin. And it's a little bit unreal. I was on retreat with the Connor Deacons in the monastery of the Benedictines at Rostrevor, and yesterday I was looking out of my window at this glorious hillside, and there were sheep grazing. Now, from a distance, they look almost cuddly, clean, cozy kind of animals. But as farmers will generally tell us, they're not like that. They're actually quite dirty, obstinate, prone to all kinds of pests and ticks, unintelligent, often wayward. Now, clearly I hesitate to apply all of that. And yet, if we're honest, is that not often how we are? how frequently we've all turned aside from the path in which God would have us to walk. How often we must try his patience as our good shepherd, and yet still, always, forever, in his eyes, we are of infinite worth. And that's what Paul says. Be a shepherd, Craig, of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. In the gospel, we heard how the heart of Jesus is moved with compassion because the people were like sheep without a shepherd. In the Old Testament reading, we heard how God himself is willing to go to the uttermost in gathering back to himself those who've become scattered. Our hope, our prayer, is that under you and Becky and others, the ministry of this church will grow and expand and draw many in. The church means everything to God. He loves the church. He cares for the church. He nourishes the church. He bears patiently with the church. And if the church means so much to him, well, how can any of us settle for anything less than to expend ourselves in working to build that church? Craig, it is this God, this shepherd God, who has called you and Becky. It is this God who will equip and enable you. Our prayers, our love, and our best wishes go with you, that this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will abundantly bless you. Amen.
Would you like to stand?
Oh, we'll see how.
how great.
How great is our God. See what we have. Great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great. How great is our God.
How great.
How great is our.
Archbishop, I present the Reverend Craig Cooney to be instituted as Minister in Charge of Core Church.
Archdeacon, thank you. Registrar, have the deed of appointment, the declaration, together with the oath of canonical obedience been taken by the nominee and witnessed by the church warden?
They have.
Thank you. Michael Jeffrey St. Alban, by divine providence, Lord Archbishop of Dublin, Primate of Ireland and Metropolitan, and Bishop of Glendalough, to our beloved in Christ, the Reverend Craig William Leslie Macaulay, greeting. Whereas the Chaplaincy of Core, City Outreach through Renewal and Evangelism, at the Church of St. Catherine, Thomas Street, in our Diocese of Dublin, became vacant by the resignation of the Reverend Jonathan Mark Barrington Kissel, the late chaplain thereof, and you having been chosen by the trustees of the said Church of St. Catherine as a fit and proper person to officiate as the chaplain thereof, and by them nominated for the same to us. We do, therefore, give and grant unto you the said Reverend Craig Cooney, of whose competent endowment we have due knowledge, this our license, to read the Book of Common Prayer, to preach the Word of God within the said church, and to perform other divine offices, and celebrate all holy ordinances incident to your function therein, according to the use of the Church of Ireland. You having first subscribed before us the several declarations contained in the roll of subscription, as required and prescribed by the Constitution of the Church of Ireland. And we do hereby constitute and admit you, the said Reverend Craig Cooney, Chaplain of the Church of St. Catherine, as aforesaid, during our will and pleasure, given under our hand and archiepiscopal seal this fourth day of September, in the year of our Lord, 2011, the 10th of our consecration, and of our translation, the first. Craig, receive this license to officiate as Minister in Charge of Core Church, in which the pastoral care and the oversight of the members of this congregation is entrusted both to you and to me within the body of Christ. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit pour on you the abundance of His grace. May He bless you as you minister in word and in sacrament to His people. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as members of this church, you are called together to be the body of Christ, serving God's kingdom and living together through the power of the Holy Spirit. You are called to witness to the love of Christ and to serve others in the name of Christ. The Apostle Paul writes, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Will you follow in this way?
By the help of God, we will.
I would ask members of the congregation please to sit. Craig, take this water and baptize in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Craig, take this Bible and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Craig, accept this prayer book and be a person of prayer among your people.
Amen.
Craig, use this oil and be a healer of the sick.
Amen.
Craig, receive this towel and be a servant and a support to those in need and in trouble. Craig, take this chalice and this paten and be among us to break the bread and to bless the cup.
Amen.
Craig, the care of God's people in this church has been committed to you. May the Lord pour out his Holy Spirit on you and equip you to fulfill the sacred duties with which you have been entrusted.
Amen.
May he give you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound judgment. May he guard you against the snares of temptation and keep you pure in heart and steadfast in the right way.
Amen.
In prayer, may the Lord bring new life to your devotion. In praise, may he deepen your love and your gratitude. And may he grant you the needful gifts of grace to the glory of his name.
Amen.
Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, strengthen and sustain me in this ministry to which I have been called. Give me the vision of your glory and make me worthy of my calling.
Amen. I would ask you all please to stand. Members of the congregation, I present the Reverend Craig Cooney to you as your minister in charge. Will you support and encourage him in his ministry?
Amen.
Greet him in the name of the Lord.
Welcome
in the name of the Lord, we greet you. I would encourage any of you who wish to do so on an individual basis to come forward and to greet and to congratulate Craig. You're not as shy as that, I know.
Power and majesty, praise. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight with hearts that are full of gratitude at your goodness, full of joy at your love, and full of thanksgiving at your grace towards us. We worship you, Lord of heaven and earth. You are holy, righteous, faithful, compassionate, and merciful. We thank you that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you for adopting us as your children, giving us your Holy Spirit, and empowering us to live the Christian life. We thank you for giving gifts to your people, gifts to serve, encourage, and equip your church. And so we pray that you would help each one of us to pour out our lives in service for you and other people. Be Lord of our time, be Lord of our talents, and be Lord of our treasure, that your kingdom may be extended throughout the earth, and your will may be done in our hearts and lives. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord of the church, we thank you for calling your people together into community. We thank you that you love the church so much that you purchased her with your precious blood. We thank you that she is your beloved bride, for whom you one day will return to take her to be with you forever. And so we pray for your whole church on this island of Ireland. May she become the pure, spotless bride that you have called her to be. May she be faithful to you in life and doctrine, and through her witness, may many be drawn into a living relationship with you, the Lord of all. We pray for our leaders, for Archbishop Michael, for all bishops and clergy. Empower and equip us to faithfully fulfill the roles to which you have called us. Keep us close to you and mindful of the responsibility of our calling. And we pray for this church here in St. Catharines. We thank you for the past, for those who had a vision for a new expression of ministry within the Church of Ireland, for those who have led this church in days past, the Reverend Willie Stewart, the Reverend John Kissel, and the Reverend Rob Jones. And we pray your blessing on them in their new areas of ministry. And we thank you that you have great plans for this congregation, plans to prosper her and not to harm her, plans to give her a hope-filled future. In the weeks and months that lie ahead, may this church be a light in this community and city, and through her witness, may we see many, many people come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, restore your church. Lord, renew your church. Lord, revive your church. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, we pray for all who are in any kind of need tonight. We pray for the sick, the lonely, the bereaved, the brokenhearted, the poor, the fearful, and those without hope. We ask that the healing presence of Jesus would touch them at their deepest point of need, that the transforming power of Jesus would bring healing and hope to their souls and bodies, and that the life-giving Spirit of Jesus would envision and sustain them in the days ahead. And in these few moments of silence, we just bring before God any needs that we might have tonight ourselves. Lord, in your mercy, accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.